It is Thursday, the 8th of November, and this is episode 141 of Digital Outbox. Welcome along to another roller coaster ride of digital news and infotainment. Or something like that. I'm Chris, and I'm joined, as ever, by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Hi, Chris. Tried so hard with that intro, and it just... Almost.
You know, you got to give it a go, though, because one time it might actually work.
That's why you're the host, and I'm just a pleb in the background.
No comment.
Now, tonight's show is going to be shorter, and there's two reasons.
Good.
One, there's not much news, and secondly, I'm not editing enough another 55-minute show again.
We did blather on a bit, but we have to blather on about Google every now and again just to give ourselves some balance, right? So let's start the blathering this time with Mr. Obama being re-elected. Good for him.
Good for the world.
No international distress signals needed.
No, BBC did a poll around the world, and the only country around the world that wanted Romney to win was Pakistan. Rather bizarrely. Shaq couldn't believe it. He thought I'd made it up when I told him yesterday.
I do get the feeling that we almost had as much coverage as the Americans have had about their election, probably more so than our own.
It was a bit of people going, phew. And yeah, it was like, eh?
Yes, they have still got at least a semblance of sensibleness. But anyway, it was also a big night for social networks, including Twitter.
They had two notable moments. One was that when Obama tweeted up 4 more years and they put a nice photo up, it was retweeted by more than 500,000 people.
Which is the most retweets ever.
Ever, yes. And I think it was the peak was when the networks called Obama's re-election, which was 11:19 Eastern Time, which means absolutely nothing to me. No. But there was 327,000 tweets per minute, which is quite phenomenal.
And they have now declared that the fail whale is a thing of the past, which is such a dangerous thing to declare, but still they've done it.
It is. It's like a dreary Sunday morning in Britain, you'll probably see it fail.
It just pops in, yeah. So anyway, they're pretty confident. The photo was also liked on Facebook, the same photo. And 4 million people liked it, which is apparently the most a photo's ever been liked.
Yes.
Good, good for them. It was a shitty photo.
It wasn't really.
Well, it wasn't what you'd want the best photo ever to be.
It brought a tear to Gordon Brown's glass eye. Come on.
So anyway, good that they held together. I'm actually quite surprised how low some of those numbers are. I would have thought they would be higher, to be honest. I don't know, maybe in the world of where we just hear about billions all the time, only 500,000 retweets didn't seem that many, really. But there you go.
I think I was surprised that was the record, because I thought there would have been other, but I exactly. Guess other things happen that maybe don't bring people together like that.
Yeah, not quite so many, but anyway, there you go. Not to be left on the back foot with digital stuff, our government have revealed that they are also using social media and stuff to inform their decisions. I haven't read this article all the way through fully, but it's almost feels a bit shady. But they've got this kind of weird dashboard.
That is a bit of a fluffer.
Yeah, they've got a weird dashboard application that they and a select group of people can use, which pulls together and pools a lot of social media data to find out what we think about the government and its decisions and the people in the government. And they are using this application to push direction, basically.
Yeah, so it's also, I mean, it's bringing, I guess it's pulling together things like, you know, current, you know, job, housing, information, NHS stats and stuff like that. So it is bringing... I guess it's the kind of stuff that, you know, maybe somebody is keeping that they're going to be asked a question on. It's kind of facts that are handy, suitable to a dashboard. It's the social media ones that are interesting. It sounds like they're almost trying to catch the trends of people more quicker than maybe a journalist asking them a question or whatever.
It's like Return of the Mashup, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mashup went through a massive stage of popularity and now they're doing it for the government.
Yep. And I mean, one of the other things it's tracking is seemingly it is listing how many Tory MPs and peers have been outed as paedophiles. So the current standing is 4. And seemingly the Prime Minister is keeping up to date on that on his dashboard.
What's the title of that tile?
The Jimmy Savile special.
There we go.
He's not really. But,
it seems very forward thinking. Like I say, there's a little bit shady in that, you know, we haven't seen what this information is. And also, there's an element of TV shows have not been improved by having Twitter commentators giving instant feedback. You know, and will government decision be improved if they're, you know, gaining what could be false insight from, you know, a select minority of people, really, but making a lot of noise?
Yes, and it's that mob mentality as well.
Yeah, you know, totally.
So the mob can get behind something that they think's an outrage, but in reality is maybe not. It's just that it sounds the right thing to back at that moment in time.
The nicest buildings, the nicest things that are designed, the nicest of most, the best of most things are not designed by committee. and the same thing with government, probably. Decision by committee is also a bad idea. There you go.
But we covered the kind of the new government websites and stuff that were coming out, and seemingly the design is kind of off the back of that as well. So I think they are being pushing in that direction.
I'm quite excited that they're using this information. But I guess it's kind of weird because also in the past when they've used things like this, we say they're snooping, basically. Remember, kids, your information's being used, and now it's being used by David Cameron. Bad news on the retail front again for Comet. Comet's basically no more. They've gone into receivership, and the administrators are still trying to work out whether they can either save or whether they're going to have to roll up.
No big surprise, unfortunately.
No.
Being sold, was it £1, £2 or something it was sold for last year? So
they didn't manage to save it. I know that the other retailers have all sort of come along and said that we'll try and help out and employ some of the staff into our retails, but
really, do you believe that?
I do believe that they're going to do it. They have put off their Christmas recruitment drive, but that doesn't mean they're going to take them on permanently. But aside the point, if one retailer's failing, then it's probably because there's something. The model's not right anymore.
Model's not right, or we are all struggling. I still go back to how many gadgets people buy. You know, so it's not a total disaster, and you know, we've no money to spend. Everything is a bit tighter, but we do spend a lot still, and I guess
the technology bubble's never been bigger. People are buying gadgets left, right, center, things they would never have bought before, so they're spending the money. But if you have the option to buy it for £100 online and have it delivered to your door, or spend £150 and get served by a spotty oik, well, what's the decision?
You are charmer tonight.
Hello to the spotty oiks. I mean, it is unfair, but that is, you know, it's the reason that people still go and shop in John Lewis is because they do a price match. They will swap
you
it.
You snob.
Yeah, no, but they'll do a swap. They'll swap it. But it's people like my parents that will shop in John Lewis for that peace of mind because they don't like the online bit. But if you can, you know, Comet doesn't really offer anything more. Didn't offer anything more than that, really.
No. And I mean, the carpet tiles as soon as you walked in were off-putting as well. No, it did have a bit of a kind of Poundland feel.
I don't know what's going to happen to our high streets. I think I've said before, I think they're going to start pooling together and be just showrooms for online shopping. I think that's where we're going. And I don't know whether that's a good thing or not. I can't work it out. But all I do know is that, you know, if you can buy things online cheaper, then why wouldn't you, basically? People are over the whole scared of online shopping bit.
Oh, that's gone.
Yep.
That's gone.
Instagram, they've launched, basically, they've put profiles for users in place. A little bit, I guess, like Twitter profiles, really. So you go to a website and it shows a banner and it shows some of your latest pictures and says, follow me, please, basically.
Yeah, I'm just going to mine.
Do you use Instagram?
Well, you know how you said it shows you your latest pictures? It shows you all my pictures.
Because even though they came to Android, I never actually downloaded Instagram, so I've never been.
I don't know why. I just never. I know some people are like fanatical and put up loads of pictures through the service. I've got a whole sum total of 17.
It feels pretty so transient often, to me. I know they captured the imagination, but
every so often I would fire up the app and I'd browse through some of the photos and I'd think, you know what, these are some fantastic photos. And then you would think, yeah, it's a fantastic photo from a DSLR that you've loaded onto your iPhone and you're kidding on. It's a really great photo you've taken. And that's, I'm not seeing all the photos like that. Obviously, the vast majority are probably taken, you know, on iPhones and Android devices and all that good stuff. The site itself, I'm just adding on it just now, really nice and clean. A bit Facebooky, more than Twitter, actually. But I guess I've been bought by Facebook, so that should be no surprise.
But see, but Twitter went down the Facebook route, so they're all copying each other, aren't they? So
yeah.
So I guess yeah. Yeah, it just feels a bit transient as far as photos today's thing. But people have already moved on to video. I think everyone keeps talking about Keek at the moment, which is 30-second videos. And so
really, Keek up here means something completely different.
Okay, well,
seriously, Keek, I've never heard of it.
Well, there you go. But that seems to be what the latest thing that everyone is talking about. So whether Instagram still holds on, I guess now that they've been embedded in the Facebook world, maybe that their future's confirmed, basically.
Oh, I'm on Keek just now. That looks interesting.
Apple have rewritten their apology properly this time. They stay behind. They wrote their 10 lines after having been told off by a judge. And I guess backing away when the judge sort of did look like he was going to spank them.
Yes, but... Yeah, again, a little bit of sneakiness. There's a little bit of JavaScript in there that detected the size of your screen and made sure it was pushed below the viewable content so that you couldn't actually see it unless you scrolled.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
But interestingly,
that's... You know what? If the judge finds that and...
Well, interestingly, it's been changed today, so it's not that bit of JavaScript magic is no longer in place. If you just go to apple.com/UK, you just see the announcement at the bottom. If you went there yesterday, it kind of didn't matter how you sized your browser. You couldn't see it until you scrolled. You just got like images of products and the usual Apple homepage, and you're like, wow. Sneaky dogs.
They've got a bit, they're playing with fire. The Court of Appeal is not to be missed.
And to be fair to them, but the advert was in national newspapers. Arial size 14 font, and it looked like a recall notice. It was a pretty small advert, and it was just we have been forced to do this, basically.
Well, there you go. Anyway, so they have now done it, and their wording has been adjusted to be accurate to what the judge wanted. So yeah, I guess we've had a fun on that news story, but I think it's over now.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I won't mention it ever again.
Come on, we will. streetlights. We're getting smart streetlights, especially and throughout London. And we reckon it's going to save us money eventually.
Yes. It's not just smart streetlights. As any story at the moment, it's got to have an iPad or an iPhone in the title. So these are smart streetlights controlled via iPads.
So that, and they're also communicative in that they let people know when they've popped. So basically, it's going to cost a lot of money up front. So $3.25 million to roll them out across London. But they reckon that's going to be recouped pretty soon, and eventually we'll be getting, we'll save money every year on year.
Yeah, so they reckon it's going to be $420,000 to save a year. And you can control its
brightness
level. How are
they spending $420,000 on just changing light bulbs?
Oh, I guess people are going to get the sack. Because you could probably take, you know, three or four people out of it and you're probably saving quite a bit.
You're afraid. Have you looked at those light bulbs down there yet? Nope.
Because by the time you go and do all the crazy calculations about how much tax, how much pension and how much this and how much that and how much somebody costs a company, they come up with some crazy figure and then they just multiply it by like, oh, just bag three of them. And that's probably like 3/4 of that figure gone. Swines.
But anyway, it seems good.
You can
good.
Control brightness from the iPad. And
why would they want to do that? Why give some spotty oik the ability? But hello, spotty.
No, come on.
Why give them the abilities to dim it?
Why not?
Just means that someone's going to crack in and just start making Christmas lights out of our streetlights.
Fantastic.
It would be quite funky to see a wave going down, wouldn't it?
Have you seen them? Just when we were talking about lights, have you seen the Philips Hue?
No.
No. So this is Philips have brought out smart light bulbs for the home. So I think it was 180 quid. And you get three bulbs and a controller unit. And each bulb then costs 50 quid after it. And basically the bulb is, you can change the colour of the bulb and you control it via your iPad or your iPhone. And it's all done wireless. And you can control, instead of having like the plug controlling when it switches on or off, it's all done in the light bulb itself. So you can from your iPad or iPhone, you can be like, well, turn this one on at this time and turn it off at this.
And is this in a lamp or does it sit in your normal light sockets?
So it's in the normal light socket, okay. So it's all inside the bulb.
Because I think I might have spoken before about my living colour lamps that I have.
You did talk about it, and I remember chortling heartily.
Yep.
And then I saw the Philips Hue and I was like, I want one.
Yeah. So they figured out a way of actually putting it into your light socket. Great, great.
If you go to a lot of money still, isn't it? meethue.com, so meethue.com, and they're on sale via the Apple store at the moment. It says 3 to 4 months for UK. I think you can buy them now in America for $200, but I think it was 170 British pounds and 50 quid for the, so you get three bulbs plus the thing that you need to plug into your wireless router, so you can talk to all your devices.
Quite a funky website.
Yeah, I just I know I'm going to get a slagging off for this, but I want to buy this. And yeah.
I don't know. Well, I say I spent equally as much money on lamps. So there we go. I can't moan too much. But it sounds good. Yeah, I've not seen them before. Anyway, so the street lamps, it's good infrastructure move and great. Someone can adjust their brightness via iPad. Good stuff. Games. Now then, because we talked about Kickstarter last week, let's talk about a Kickstarter project that's got everyone talking, and it is Elite. That brand new concept.
Yes.
So it's going to be called Elite Dangerous, and basically the original makers of Elite have decided they would like to redo their game for the 21st century, basically.
I thought this was a follow-up to Rick Dangerous, actually, and I was far more excited than I realised it was Elite, and I was like, oh, good grief.
So, and they're basically saying, we want to rebuild it, we want some Kickstarter money to do it, and they want a minimum of about $1.25 million to say that...
I like how you see about. It's 1.25 million.
No one knows that I'm reading a piece of paper. This is all just details to my fingertips. I just know this stuff. Anyway.
So next story in our show notes.
you could probably mind read and tell what the next one is. They need 1.25 million to create a game which they believe would be the basic game. They want more if you want to have a better game, basically. It shows how much money it costs to make a game nowadays, doesn't it? It's bonkers.
Yeah.
And that's a tiny budget for a game, really.
I'm not convinced
by this.
Should
we leave it in the past?
Well, the thing is, Elite is like obviously loved by, millions. It was a fantastic game of its time, but
every single game that was a fantastic game of its time, every time they release one on Xbox Arcade, they're really rubbish.
And the thing is, Frontier came out. So Elite Frontier came out and it was dreadful. It was buggy. It was a mess. And that was from the same company. You know, there's obviously the guy was a genius at that time. But, I don't know. I just didn't. I mean, looking at it already, it's been running now. I can't remember how many when this actually started. I don't know if it was only 3 or 4 days ago, but they've already at 353,000. There's 57 days to go, so I think it's pretty much a stick on. This will get funded. Because if you look at the Kickstarter models, it tends to be you get a spike at the start, it drifts along, then towards the end, it really picks up momentum.
The problem, though, is that game publishers are in the business of being game publishers because they support the publishing house, the game developer house. And they fund it right up until the point that they don't think the game's going to make money anymore. And so that often means, the developer house sort of gets more and more money as time goes on. They're going to have this budget and they are not going to be able to exceed that budget because there is no more money incoming. That's a pretty hard thing for a game developer to try and work to with no scope.
Yes, and so a couple of things. This is PC only. You'll be paying now, and delivery is planned to be March 2014.
So big pre-order, isn't it?
Yep. Unfortunately, the Pledge 5000 or more has been sold out, and for 5000, you got dinner with David Bradman himself and key team members in Cambridge, and you have a central star system named after you.
A lot of these Kickstarter projects are saying there's also going to be these forums where people get to help inform decisions. And it comes back to the same thing again. Games that are designed by committee, again, are rubbish.
Yeah, I'm just disappointed. I could have spent £5,000 on it and loads of people would have been flying to the Dick Star System. That would have been fantastic.
Come and experience Dick. says the marketing. Excellent. Smart Glass been released. Smart Xbox Smart Glass. So it's basically using your tablet to extend Xbox games. I've not downloaded it yet.
And it came out on Android a couple of weeks ago, but I decided to kind of hang fire until it was out for iOS as well so that I could actually try it first. Mm. So it came out yesterday and it was an update rather than a new app. It was just an update to the current Xbox app.
Which is fair enough, which is out. A nice app.
And basically it's a second screen, so it lets you control the Xbox rather laggily. I guess there's a few things that are easier, so you can do things like message, and if you were messaging somebody and you've not got one of those little chat pad things.
Yeah, I've got one of those chat pad things.
It's always a bit of a faff, so now you can use your tablet keyboard, and it's a lot easier to tap out a message. So I'm sure, seeing as the last time I got a message from somebody was somebody calling me a nasty word in Forza. Fantastic. Thanks. That'll be helpful.
But does it add anything extra? And how else are they going to use it? Are they using it alongside games as well?
Like the Wii U. It's going to offer a second screen depending if the game supports it. So Forza, I've not tried Forza yet. So Forza gives you, similarly, you can see the map and be able to pick points and zoom in and out on the map. Halo gives you all your stats, so rather than waiting for the end of the game for stats, you can see the stats certainly on the iPad.
I'm going to be downloading this bad boy right now. Yeah. Love it.
I will say the stats just seem to be a web page, so it's not like it just looks like it's an app that's basically showing some web content.
It's what it does do though is opens possibilities for the future for sure. To be a dynamic, whether it adds anything, who knows? Because obviously every game that's developed cannot be developed and expect you to see the information. No, it has to be additional.
And Halo Waypoint, if you downloaded that app for iOS, it gave you maps and kill areas, and it also sounded fantastic. But
in reality,
you're playing the game. You're 100% concentrating. I mean, Halo, you can't look away. You're dead. So you're 100% concentrated. The only thing is the downtime between games. You could obviously pick your tablet up.
But the downtime between games, you can look at the stats anyway because they're there.
Exactly. And it needs to be something more compelling. And I think, it's just out, so it's kind of, I don't want to be too harsh on it right away.
No.
Everybody's chasing after second screen. Sky's doing it. Everybody's doing it.
We haven't mentioned Sky. So Sky's on demand service. I don't know if you've used it. is all out and up and running now. You can get BBC iPlayer, ITV, Catch Up, 4OD, all of it. And it works so well. I was very, very impressed with it. So you can do a search across all those platforms and basically you say you want to watch it and it downloads it into your program guide. It's perfect.
It's really good. And just out of interest, how many programs did you watch on iPlayer and Xbox?
Half.
I think you spent longer talking about it and moaning about it in the podcast than actually ever watching a program on it.
Yeah, it probably was about half a program I watched on it. Had they got it done earlier, I would have been much better. But they didn't, did they? No.
So I think the second screen idea is looking really good. And fair play to Microsoft, they could have just brought this out on Windows 8 and said it's a Windows 8 exclusive and that's the only place you can do it. But I think they're realizing the error of that.
Yeah.
Their ways and they're having to support all the other devices.
Yeah.
And whether it gets more advanced if a new console comes out next year, I don't know.
You've got to believe that's going to happen because Sky's, I don't know what they're doing different, but Sky is lag free as far as I can tell. Everything works almost. It's magical.
and I was just saying this, I was talking to Shatler, Sky has been in a right old good tier this year.
They said it was the year of the app, didn't they?
And to be fair to them, they've delivered. If you look at SkyGo, and I know Virgin have just brought out a kind of equivalent of SkyGo, because I think they're seeing just how popular, you know, apps and offering that content anywhere is. You know, customers are really liking it. But even the, as you're saying, the Sky Plus app.
Yep.
You know, just being able to control everything from the iPad. And
you know what? It's quicker than using the remote. When they next deliver me a letter that says it's going to go up in price, I'll let them off one letter. Just the one. As long as it's not too big a price.
I was going to say, your next price upgrade is £55.
Yeah, I wouldn't let them get away with that. We might as well not ignore the elephant in the room. Let's talk Halo, because it's good and it's back and it's different, but the same.
Yeah. So, yeah, so mine's, thanks Amazon, mine's didn't come through on Tuesday. I only pre-ordered it months ago.
Fail.
Yeah. Cock. But the, so I've not tried single player, which is no big surprise to anybody that knows me. You've had a little crack at the campaign, haven't you?
Yeah, but I've played a little bit, and it feels very much along the lines of every other Halo campaign. It's very epic in size and scope. They've got some action sequences which they've kind of highlighted at the beginning, so a bit like Uncharted in the way that it's a timing thing, press a button here and there.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So I guess they're going to use that a bit later in the game as well to sort of add to the style of it. So that's different. Like I say,
even when Shenmue first brought that in, and it was like, you know, press now, and it's like, this is not the game I want to play.
Well, there you go. They've got some of it in there now. And I died pretty early doors because of it, which is a bit strange in a Halo game. There we go.
So I think we're going to give co-op a good old go.
Yeah, why not? You know.
That'll be because I can't entertain single player games if the story's not much cop. And Halo, I know people love Halo for the story. I just think it was all a bit pap. I'll suffer co-op.
It very quickly got to the point of, oh, I'm just here killing Covenant. You know, I've seen this before.
But see, I gave up before. I was like, oh, here we are killing Flood.
Yeah, well, we haven't got to.
I had to moan about the Flood.
But I'm pretty sure I will get through some of the single player. Just why not? But the multiplayer is where we kind of spend most of our time, and we've only had a very brief escapade on it, but interesting. It's kind of like Halo Plus almost, so it feels on its underlying core very, very similar, but there's more variability. They've added in much more of the kind of Modern Warfare type perks and, you know, the Call of Duty things like that, so you can call in ordnance. You can there's all sorts of things you can do now.
Yeah, so if you're doing well, you can call in, you know, you get a little option to call in, you know, I need some grenades or I need another weapon, and you can call that in. I think the weapons are a lot more varied, or just different. I just don't know if it's varied or different, but certainly the match we played on last night, there seemed to be quite a lot of variety going on. It wasn't the
People were very effective with some of the weapons and I wasn't.
No, we weren't. And
it's just little things like marking out where the actual weapons respawn. It's quite a nice, nice thing, and just little tweaks here and there that make it feel different. And you can earn different perks, so you can sprint infinitely as one of the perks. But then you lose out in other areas that you could, you know, other people might be perking themselves up in. So,
and I think
they can get it balanced, it's gonna be hard. But
you know. Well, multiplayer wise, it felt as strong as ever. But the one thing I did notice that they've addressed is, you know, if somebody dropped right at the start of the game, you were just disadvantaged for the next 10 minutes unless you quit. You know, 4v3 or 4v2, and you're now obviously getting people coming in and joining the game.
Yep, and so the game is balanced out. Yep.
Yeah, which is that. The only thing I hope is that they are actually applying the same balance that Halo always applied. So you're going to be fighting, you know, people ranked the same. And I did read something that says there's a new ranking system that they're not introduced now, but they will be next year, and games will be matched based on it. And it's like, but does that mean they've taken away the kind of stuff they had before? Because it was always in Call of Duty, you're just basically, it was just randoms. And they've said Call of Duty are going to try and address that this year and say you're going to be fighting people of similar skill.
It's quite important to you, because if you the best games are the ones that are very even, and you know that if you have a good game you might win it, if you have a bad game you might lose it. So they're
absolutely,
it's a hard thing, especially when everyone teams up with a group of mates that have all varying abilities, but they seem to address it in the old Halo, so I hopefully that they've kept some of that
And one thing I never touched at all last night, because I know the armor, you can actually improve your armor and it makes a difference. And I guess it's so early doors that probably nobody's, we've not a chance to notice that yet, but I can see in a week's time, probably some people have probably, you know, ranked up enough points that it's going to make quite a considerable difference. If you're going against a group of randoms and they're all armoured up, you've just got no chance of probably winning.
I just hope that takes away some of the, you know, if you get a benefit in one place like armour, then hopefully that also causes your weakness somehow.
It slows you down or something, or
has a weak spot on the armour maybe. But it's all pretty by the by. We don't know that yet, and we won't know that the balance has been kept.
Because I thought it looked very pretty.
It did.
It sounded very good. Didn't see much lag, so it was all good.
And we've got two legged walking robots to command now. I can't remember what they were called. They had a name, but I can't remember.
I will hold my hand up as well. At the end of the night, I did check my kill death ratio and I was still above one.
I'm definitely not. definitely not. No, it's good fun, though. So with that, I mean, that's in a way, we've got to stop talking now so that we can actually get back on it. And
one thing we've tried is this kind of novel idea of they're going to do weekly downloadable content or downloadable missions, so Spartan Ops, and you'd play kind of as cooperatively through over the next, I think they're saying, is it 10 weeks or 20 weeks initially is provided with the game, and then depending on how successful it is, they're going to make a call on whether that's chargeable or whether they provide that free to try and keep the user base going. So that'll be an interesting new novel approach.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'll shut up.
There's going to be lots to this game, or if that's the feeling anyway, and there's certainly going to be lots of depth, and time's going to be the telling factor here, see whether they can keep it going.
And I guess next week we should just point out Call of Duty's out. So
yeah,
that's probably the big game of the year still.
But yeah, but are you going to get it?
No.
I don't know. Right.
No, there's no point in me getting it just after Halo.
No, there's absolutely not. And especially when the other games are still not being played. Right, that is the end of our podcast. I'm assuming our pick is Let's Go Play More Halo, because that's my pick.
Yeah.
So we will speak at you next week, but if you want to find anything out about us or what we do or what we're talking about in the meantime, digitaloutbox.com, email info@digitaloutbox.com, Twitter, Skype, Digital Outbox. I occasionally tweet that I'm playing Halo on Cheesy UK. Ian, where can we find you?
I was going to say Streeper is Twitter. Twitter is Streeper. Blog is iand.net. And app.net is Ian Dick.
Beautiful stuff. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
No more monks. We didn't mention the lack of monks.
Monks?
We replaced.
I hadn't noticed.